multitude of joy. The Israelites were in battle with the powerful Philistines. Their combat forces were unable to challenge just one Philistine soldier, the famous giant Goliath. Every day, the Israelite army became more and more disenchanted and hopeless. Then, David was sent by his father to visit his brothers. During his visit, he heard Goliath defying Jehovah, God of the Israelites, and challenging to have one soldier from the Israelite camp fight with him. Well, none dared to do so because none believed that God could use him to deliver his people. David, then just a handsome young man with no experience in battle, volunteered to give the flesh of the uncircumcised Philistine to the birds of the air. King Saul was unsure about David's ability, but now desperate for a volunteer, the king questioned David, even suggesting that he was no match for Goliath. However, to David, the suggestion was ridiculous and unfounded. His reply was, "I can destroy Goliath just as I did the lion and the bear, which came out to destroy my lamb. With God, I can." Well, because no one else offered, King Saul had no other choice but to allow the young man to fight the trained, experienced, and famous soldier Goliath. With an attitude or manner of thinking that said, "With God, I can," there was victory for David and all the Israelite people. God had no choice but to answer David's faith request. His attitude was the reason for his success. Caleb and Joshua, two of the 12 spies sent to view the land of Jericho, returned with a good report because they knew that their God, Jehovah, was able to give them what he promised. The other 10 negative thinking men saw themselves handicapped because of their stature. So, to them, they were helpless and powerless like grasshoppers. The paraplegic in the New Testament realized that once he got into the immediate presence of Jesus, he will be healed. So, using motivational techniques and influential powers, he convinced his friends to take him to Jesus. When it seemed impossible to get into the Master's presence, positive thinking, courage, and determination found a way through the roof. He knew what it meant to never give up. His attitude was that of using his resources to receive his desired goal. Now, what is your general attitude to life? The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Becoming a new creature does not mean a change in your physical appearance. I certainly look the same these past few years. What Paul really said was, when you accept Christ, you will have a changed mind or way of thinking or attitude. in Ezekiel chapter 36 verses 25 to 27, God promised to take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, He promised to give you the kind of mind that is receptive to Him and the changes in your life that are necessary for growth. Again, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21, urged them to bring their bodies under subjection to the power of the mind. Here, Paul alluded to the fact that the human mind controls his desires for food and sex, as well as his behaviors, which result from these desires. Now, let me tell you that it is necessary to make a statement about your general attitude. Mine is that life is short, and I will make the best of the opportunities I have, touch lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, and enjoy the relationships of family and friends. I will not allow anything or anyone to steal my joy in the Lord. Now, what is your attitude to life? Your attitude or your thought pattern in your subconscious influences your personality or the kind of person you are. Your personality is comprised of your behavior, emotions, temperament, and talents. First of all, your behavior is what you do, such as praying before meals, helping a blind person cross the street, or being talkative and comical. Your emotions are your feelings of sadness, fear, anxiety, frustration, and joy. Your temperament is how you do things, whether slow or fast, and how you respond in situations, whether calm or flustered. Your talents are all of the things you have ability to do, such as singing, acting, teaching, engineering, nursing, accounting, and building construction. Your thoughts initiate your behavior, emotions, temperament, and how you execute your talents. It means, therefore, that if you improve your attitude, you will also improve your behavior, emotions, temperament, and talents. Then, your personality will take on a new appearance. Because attitude is in your subconscious, you tend to be unaware of it until something happens and you give a particular response. For example, you left home to go to a function, all excited and expecting to have a great time. But when you arrived, somebody did not like your outfit and criticized it. You brushed off the comment and continued having a good time, or so you thought. An hour later, one of your friends noticed that you are not your usual happy self. Finally, you leave the function for home. When you get there, you start binging. You just seem lethargic. Then you remember what your friend said about you not being your usual happy self. This leads you to start questioning what has happened to you. As you review things, you discover that you were okay until that moment when the comment was made about your outfit. Until that time, you did not even realize that it affected you so much. The truth is that in your consciousness or awareness, you did not bother with the statement, but your subconscious felt hurt after you placed so much effort in dressing for the occasion and left home feeling good about how you looked. Now, to know what your subconscious is thinking, you need to observe changes in your behavior, feelings, way of doing things, or ways of responding to situations. In other words, you need to look at temporary changes in your personality. Your attitude determines the value you place on yourself. If you know that you are blessed by God and His Spirit dwells in you, you will see yourself as having something to contribute to the world and valuable in God's sight. When you know that you have value to yourself and the world, you will automatically behave differently from those who do not see themselves in the same perspective. Your behavior over time will result in new habits and, of course, change in your personality. Your attitude determines your stress level, which in turn decides your physical health and impacts upon every other area of your life. Your relationship with God, relationships with those you love, work with and meet on the street, success in your career, and joy in living. You ask, why is this so? The answer is found in an understanding of the effects of your thoughts. Thoughts are electrical impulses that create biochemical reactions in your brain. These reactions release chemicals that impact upon every cell in your body and change the chemical structure of your cells and immune system. Negative thinking, or thoughts of despair and hopelessness when difficult situations present themselves, or when you are stressed, produce destructive hormones in your brain, which make a series of changes in your body, resulting in several things. And these include an increase in your metabolism, heart rate, breathing rate, muscle tension, and blood pressure. Also, inhibited digestion and reproduction, and immune system dysfunction. With the production of destructive hormones, the risk of heart attacks and cancer increases, thus shortening your life. If your thoughts are negative, your stress or distress will increase. On the other hand, if your thoughts are positive, stressful situations and people would not disturb your peace and cause you to be worried, anxious, or fearful about anything. You remain stress-free though you are surrounded by stressful people and situations. Because of the relationship between stress and attitude, stress has the same negative effect on the body that negative attitudes have. Furthermore, just contemplating on a stressful situation will do the same job as the negative attitude or the stress itself, that of releasing a flood of destructive hormones. God, the creator of man's marvelous body, knows this. That is why he told the Israelites to remember the time of deliverance and not the stressful night of increased burdens and immense sorrow. We can sum up by saying that your attitude influences the outcome of your life, be it spiritual, health, relationships at home and abroad, education, and career. You know that your life could be better in specific areas, but somehow you lack the willpower to make the adjustments needed. Well, to do so, you must first identify the problem. Make a statement about it. Next, with respect to the problem, identify your attitude towards it. Then, determine its origin, whether you inherited it from your ancestors or learned it over months or maybe years. Speak the new attitude into your life and rehearse the behaviors associated with it. Now, take a look at an attitude you inherited. Let us say, for example, you inherited a style of thinking which says, I will do whatever makes me feel good now. The fact is that such an attitude leads to sin against God, strained relationships, sickness, poverty, non-fulfillment, and lack of achievement in life. There was one man in the Bible I really admire. His name? Ezra. He and some of his other Israelite relatives returned to Jerusalem from Babylonian captivity. Upon his return, Ezra discovered that those who remained in Jerusalem had one interest: to do whatever made them feel good now. They had disobeyed God's law and were living in sin. Amazing! They did not even seem to realize that God was displeased with their behavior. They were commanded not to marry people from the surrounding nations, but they did what made them feel good at the time, disregarding its consequences. When Ezra saw this, he called the people in a special assembly and reminded them about God's expectations of them. Ezra led them in repentance of their sins, as well as those of their ancestors. The people understood how much they grieved God by their sins and were determined to do things differently. They put away all their foreign wives and the children to obey the will of God. What if you inherited a style of thinking which says, I do not have anything to contribute to this world? Well, your behavior would show indifference to excellence and talent discovery. You will settle for just making it in life and not in finding a way to bless the world. Other people may recognize your special talents in specific areas and have a vision for your greatness, but you think that is all far-fetched and impossible. You reason, my parents have not made any significant contribution. My grandparents were very ordinary. None of my family members has achieved much. So how could I be somebody great? Do you remember Moses? He came from a virtually unknown family among the Israelites. But he was available for God to use him in delivering his people from Egypt. What about the attitude you learned over the years? It must have come from your environment, which is your home, school, church, club, place of employment, or community. To make changes here, you must first identify the circumstances which led you to adopt the attitude you want to change. Next, you need to analyze carefully your reasoning or thinking at the time. What you will discover is that your present attitude is founded on a more intricate situation which was not dealt with. At that time, you developed an attitude to help you cope with the problem or situation. Therefore, It is that attitude you need to work on. Once this is done, dealing with the current attitude and resulting behavior will be easy. For several months, I had become lazy. I was not exercising for all kinds of reasons, none of which made sense in terms of my health and spiritual well-being. For so long, exercise was part of my life, just as important as food and sleep. Now, writing books had become more important by my very behavior. My attitude was, exercise could wait. I knew that I could not handle disease and needed to return to exercise. But somehow, I did not have the will to start. Understanding how my mind functions, I decided to work on it. My first responsibility was to identify the problem. It was not that I had become lazy, but that I had lost balance in my life due to my new attitude to exercise, which caused me to prioritize in areas I needed to strike balance. Writing books was important, and so was preparing healthy meals, and so was spending time with God, and so was exercise. Now, exercise, the missing link, must fit into my daily schedule. To make this happen, I reminded myself of its importance, especially with my family's medical history, and said, I must strike balance. I must strike balance. My thoughts concerning my need to exercise were translated into words. I must strike balance, which later became my actions when I prepared the equipment and started exercising. After several weeks, I was exercising at least 4 times a week. Exercise had become my habit again. Even my personality took on a renewed look with this habit because I was practicing balance in my life. I was happier with myself for the change and produced more, thus becoming more successful in my career. The end result was joy in living. You need to change your negative, counterproductive thoughts. If you do, you will literally change your body and enjoy health. The truth is, you have the power to turn off your response to stress by changing your attitude through self-talk. You can say to yourself, I am in a safe situation. God is blessing me and I am okay. At that point, your brain will stop sending emergency signals which go to your nervous system, and then restore your body functions. What about guilt? Guilt for something said or done, and the inability to forgive oneself or another, generate the same kind of chemical reaction as negative thoughts, because they are matters of the mind or thought processes. Therefore, you can overcome guilt by saying, I was wrong for doing a particular thing. But after all, I am human and will make mistakes, so I forgive myself. I am okay. Or, my colleague was wrong for hurting me, but I forgive him because I wanted to be free and happy. Forgiveness is all about my joy, not his. Your subconscious thinking controls your life. Have you considered the thoughts you have about giving God your life? Do you say something like, well, I have time. I do not have to give God my life now. It is not that urgent. You know that today you are here and tomorrow you may be gone. Yet you think you have time. Really? You have put off making that commitment for so long that even though you want to make changes, you cannot because you have fed your subconscious with the idea that such a lifestyle can wait. To undo this means that you must now re-educate your subconscious to think differently. You can do so by saying, I give God my life today. I will not wait until tomorrow. The greatest joy on earth is in serving God. If you repeat this often enough, your subconscious will believe it and initiate change in both your desire and your behavior. You can develop specific attitudes to different things and people as they suit you. Concerning a wayward child, you can say to yourself, my love and concern will make the difference. And indeed, it will. To a job you want to move out of, you can say to yourself, I will do the best I can and enjoy it while I'm there. And it will be fulfilling in spite of the difficulties. To a nagging spouse, you can determine never to hear him or her nag you. You will always interpret the nagging as a need you have to address now. Then the nagging will cease and your relationship will improve. To a subject matter that is giving you problems, you can say, I have a problem with this subject. But I am going to do well in it by the grace of God. Your brain will actually get excited to perform and your grade will improve. To a disease condition in your body, you can say, with God, I have the power to reverse it while I do not worry about anything and be happy. I am healed. Then, your subconscious will be convinced and the chemical structure in your brain will take on a healing process. With special care in your diet and a prayer to God who heals all diseases, you will be healed. To a practice of sexual intercourse outside of a marriage relationship, you can say, as great as sexual intercourse is, it is not the only thing I need in life. It is about two people, man and his wife being one. It is great when two persons love each other unconditionally and are committed to the relationship. Over time, your subconscious, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, will cultivate new desires and work to prevent any promiscuous behaviors. What about your health habits? Have you been paralyzed to make changes to your diet and exercise program? Here is your victory plan. You can say, I need to be healthy for God to use me. Therefore, I now give up all that will enfeeble and cause me disease. Nothing will ever be too much for me to give up or to do in making necessary changes. After some time of repeating this statement, your appetite will give way to your mind, and those things which once held you captive will lose their hold on you. Do you need a personality makeover? Well, instead of saying, this is the way I am, I cannot change, you can say, I have a problem. I am going to change my behavior by God's grace. I will accomplish it by doing X or by doing Y. The truth is that the moment you change your attitude or thinking pattern, change begins. Through all your human confusion, it is God who gives you power to change your thoughts. When you invite Him to dwell in you, He transforms your thoughts and your life so that you stop worrying about what may happen, what you have or have not done, and the wrongs others have done to you. If you want to experience God's work in your life, you need to pray as though your very existence depends on it. Also, recognize that you need Him every single day of your life. Oh, how He longs to dwell in you and make you extraordinary. In summary, your attitude or your subconscious thought is translated into the values you place on different areas of your life, which later show up in your feelings in situations and subsequent actions. Your repetitive actions or behaviors with respect to an activity become your habit. While you are forming habits, your personality is developed, which ultimately determines your life successes and joy. Then, be positive in your thinking. Be positive. I say to you, be positive.